celebrate the 88th year of the founding of AA in Akron, Ohio, with this 1988 version of Joe and Charlie, brought to you by the big book livingalive.com.
One day I went to Washington to present some accounting evidence to a government bureau. This guy's on a trip. Now, let's see how Fred gets drunk. Remember Jim? Jim was down in the dumps. See what was going on with Fred. See, I've been out of town before and doing this particular dry spell, so there was nothing new about that. Physically, I felt fine. Neither did I have any pressing problems or worries. My business came off well. I was pleased and knew my partners would be too. It was the end of a perfect day, not a cloud on the horizon. Boy, Fred is feeling good, man. He's sailing. He said, I went into a hotel and Lizzie dressed for dinner. Now the squiggly writing. He said, as I crossed the threshold of the dining room, the thought came to mind, it would be nice to have a cup of cocktails with dinner. I see. But let's look at that with the truth. And go back. No, here's a guy, got a perfect day. The end of a perfect day, not a cloud on the horizon. And he walks back into this dining room. He said, boy, I have a great day. I believe I have a few drinks and go back to the hospital. That's what he decided. That's insane. What a great day. Let's go back to the hospital.
You see, that's the truth. But he couldn't see the truth. He had to believe the lie.
Yeah.
And his mind said a couple of cocktails before dinner would be fine.
Yeah.
Now, he believed the lie. He became insane. Now, based on the lie, he made a decision and took some action. He said, I ordered a cocktail in my meal. Now we've put it inside ourselves. We've triggered the allergy. Then I ordered another cocktail. After dinner, I decided to take a walk. When I returned to the hotel, it struck me a highball would be fine before going to bed, so I stepped into the bar and had one. I remember having several more that night and plenty next morning. I have a shadowy recollection of being in an airplane bound for New York and of finding a friendly taxicab driver at the landing field instead of my wife. The driver escorted me about for several days. I know little of where I went or what I said and did. Then came the hospital with unbearable mental and physical suffering. As soon as I regained my ability to think, I went carefully over that evening in Washington. Not only had I been off guard, I had made no fight whatever against the first drink. This time I had not thought of the consequences at all. I had commenced to drink as carelessly as though the cocktails were ginger ale. No, Jim vaguely sensed he wasn't being any too smart. Fred didn't even sense that. Fred's mind just said a couple of cocktails before dinner would be great. And based on that idea, he took a drink. And then he triggered the allergy, and then he couldn't stop drinking. So is his problem the fact that he's allergic to alcohol? Or is it the fact that he's insane when it comes to alcohol? Is Jim's problem the fact that he's allergic to alcohol? Or is it the fact that he's insane when it comes to alcohol? Neither one could see the truth. And based on a lie, they made a decision. So it's plain to see that the real problem of the alcoholic centers in the mind just prior to taking the first drink. If I can see the truth, I can't drink. On page 43, last paragraph, once more. The alcoholic at certain times has no effective mental defense against the first drink. Except in a few rare cases, neither he nor any other human being can provide such a defense. His defense must come from a higher power. Now, he has convinced me in this chapter. You know, I still don't like the idea of the need for the spiritual experience. A good old alcoholic, we don't like to be so weak that we have to turn elsewhere for help, especially from a power that we don't understand in the first place. So even though I may see here where I absolutely need that power because of the insanity, and I'm convinced I've got to have it, I still don't much like that idea. Remember how I was raised. Remember, in my church, I heard about hellfire and brimstone. Remember, I heard about going to hell for lying and cheating and stealing and drinking whiskey and committing adultery, and by this time I've been doing that for 26 years. And I know that God's not going to have anything to do with me. I know that God has already told St. Peter, when that little four-eyed sucker gets up here, send him downstairs. We don't need his cousin. Now, based upon old ideas, it still seems impossible for me to have the spiritual experience, even though I am convinced right here that I've got to have it. And as a practicing alcoholic, I'm in one hell of a quandary right here. Thank God Bill was the type of alcoholic he was. Thank God that he understood how I was going to feel about this God thing. And he decided he'd write one more chapter. And he named it We Agnostics. And in We Agnostics, chapter 4, he talks about an entirely different kind of power. You know, AA has given me two things that I cherish very deeply. Number one, it gives me the idea of God as I understand him. And number two, it gives me a new understanding of God. Based upon hellfire and damnation, I could never have gone any further than right here. But in chapter 4, it explains to me about a different kind of God. It talks about a power different from what I thought he was. It talks about a simple, easy way to start the receiving of the aid of this power greater than we are. It talks about a simple way to get from where I am.